What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. This is the Fightful Select Q&A show. Gonna hit you guys. For those of you that maybe have come back in the last few weeks and don't know the format, I am only answering questions that I have the answers to. I feel like this makes the shows more concise, more newsworthy, saves us all time, and I can use the questions that you all ask that I don't have answers to as a guide to see what I can ask. So it's not you wasting a question or anything. The only difference is instead of hearing me audibly say, I don't know, then I'm gonna ask about it. Shay Enga says, Sean, any word on potential surprises for Arthur Ashe? Well, I haven't heard of any surprises. I heard that was originally where Daniel Bryan was targeted for the debut. But that's why I got credentialed for it. Braulio Fernandez says, any chance Ali's match on Dark was some sort of tryout, or is it a one-time thing? I mean, they're always tryouts, so to speak. Anthony Fitzpatrick says, what's the AEW New Japan crossover you really want to see? I want to see Omega and Ibushi. That's got such rich history and stuff to play off of. It could throw a wrench in the Elite. Jose says, wondering how CM Punk has been backstage according to the wrestlers and staff in AEW. I've not heard any negative stories. There are some people that say he's a little tough to get a read on. Then there are others that say he's great. Then others that just don't really interact with him whatsoever. Brent says, confirm or deny you're a news-producing robot similar to Awesomeo in South Park. So my full-time job now is basically putting out the Fightful Select stuff, finding stories for it, producing podcasts, doing maintenance stuff around the website. Jeremy Lambert is the god of producing news articles at this point. I'll do interviews and transcribe some stuff and all that, but everybody on our staff that is full-time works like pretty wild hours doing specifically what they do, but it went from just me being full-time a few years ago to like five or six of us, so I got lots of help, fortunately. Anakin says, do you think Wheeler Yuta would have signed with WWE if they had offered him a deal? Yeah, I would imagine so, since he did the tryout. Hoskill says, any news on AEW coming to Canada? I know it wouldn't be soon. I haven't heard of anything on the docket for this year. Justin says, any news on Aaliyah? Can you find out? I was hoping her and Dakota would be put with Eva. From what I understand, that like all the dark match names are kind of on hold, I assume, until the draft. That's just me assuming. Braden says, excluding KO, Gargano, Zayn, Candice, are there any big names in WWE you think will end up in AEW when their contract expires? I think Cedric Alexander will probably head over there after his expires. Mateo Bernardis says, hi Sean, do you know what could be the thoughts of WWE changing with the second generation wrestlers' names? I've heard a big part of it is owning the trademark, and if you call a guy Rex Steiner and his name is Rex Steiner, tough to trademark that and own it without them going out and using it to some degree. Laura says, is AEW going to build towards Starks versus Punk after the Powerhouse Hobbs match, or will Punk move on from Team Taz? I haven't heard of Punk versus Starks yet, and I asked people in the company about it, and they were like, no, it's Hobbs. And I didn't hear anything about Starks. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. A man in his podcast says, was Tony Khan asking Lee Moriarty if he wanted to sign a genuine surprise to Lee, or was that just to pop the crowd? I think it was to pop the crowd, because I know people in the company knew the day before. Christian says, would we ever get the chance to see Omega versus Okada again? Do you think it could happen in New Japan, then AEW gets one of his own? Yeah, I think it could happen in both, for sure. And I think we will see it. Oliver says, if WWE are going with a heel, Keith Lee is a mouthpiece, who do you think it could be? I think it should be Stokely Hathaway, Malcolm Bivens. As good as he is with Diamond Mine, and as much as I'm enjoying Diamond Mine, I think they're real good right now with the Creed brothers and Ivy Nile. I think those are great additions, but I think that Malcolm Bivens would be the best option. Matt Rain says, are there any indie wrestlers that AEW has interest in signing, bringing in that we haven't seen in their programming yet? If I were you, I would just keep an eye on Dark. Keep an eye on Dark and Dark Elevation. Taylor Center said, how impacted do you think the Orlando taping will be with some of the talent on the Jericho Cruise? Not very much. I think that they'll still be able to put on a big show as a result. There are some names on there. Britt Baker is a hit. Orange Cassidy is a hit. They've got Hobbs, Statlander, Starks, Dark Order, Kazarian, Spears. But, I mean, they've still got, like, all of the Elite. They've got a ton of people. Hangman Page is not announced for that, if they bring him back, so to speak. I mean, my gosh, that's coming up quick, isn't it? I didn't even realize how soon that was coming up. But, yeah, they've got plenty of a lineup. I think that AEW is going to be fine there. Daniel Cunliffe says, bit of a random one. Could Excalibur still wrestle, or is he retired due to injury? So this is one I don't really have an answer to, but I feel like it's safe to answer. He retired in, like when he was 27 years old, I think, 27, 28. And then a few months later, he was getting package pile-drivered repeatedly in the ring. I get the feeling if he can take those, he was okay, but he has said on the Art of Wrestling podcast that his reason for retiring was because of concussions, and he didn't want to lose his life. He didn't want his brain to deteriorate. However, it's been a long time. We've seen Christian come back from that. We've seen Bryan Danielson come back from that. I think he could if he so chose, and he's more than capable in the ring. Who knows what kind of rust there would be, but if he wanted to, I think that he could. Cameron Hutton says, any reason why AEW changed from All In to All Out? And somebody says they believe it's because Ring of Honor owns it. That's not true. AEW owns All In. I don't know why. They do not own the footage of the first All In show. So maybe that has to do with it. But AEW does own the All In trademark. I just feel like they probably wanted to separate that. Jake Allenar says, do you have any idea if this new incarnation of NXT will continue to do takeovers or any kinds of special events? I haven't heard of any scheduled yet, but that doesn't mean they won't do it. Peter Thompson says, any word on where Full Gear might be held? I'm here in Minneapolis. Have you heard anything about Bray getting out of his no-compete early? No, I have not. I'm still working to find out more on that. Ben asks if I have any details on when Hook will have his in-ring debut, considering his high profile on AEW shows. No, I've heard he's had practice matches, though, but I haven't heard... I've heard he's all right. I haven't heard anything much beyond that. Knox says, know anything about the Daniel Garcia contract? Sorry, my English is not good. Oh, but we welcome you regardless, my friend. Chris says, was the plan always to have Suzuki stick around for Arthur Ashe? Was there any plan for him afterwards? Yeah, I believe that was always the plan. He's on an extended U.S. tour, so to speak. Andrew says, thoughts on the New Japan Pro Wrestling figures from Super 7, and who would you want in Series 3? So I don't actually collect those. I've actually thought about collecting some import stuff, but I haven't yet. I think they look great. The first series is Tanahashi, Ospreay, Ishii, and Okada. I'm trying to remember who all's in the second series. I think Naito, Evil Bushi, and Hiromu Takahashi, rather. I would love to see a Bullet Club set for Series 3, just all Bullet Club. I think that would be really cool. Great-looking figures. Steven says, any scoops for the Impact and Knockouts Knockdown taping this weekend? Hoping to get some. Heard of some fun names that'll be there. I think I heard maybe Masha will be there? I don't know that for sure, though. Probably shouldn't have said that out loud. Eh. Joel Wood says, is Kevin Owens as good as gone when his contract comes up, or is there a chance he stays? I think there's a real good chance he stays if they pay him accordingly, and yeah, he's a family guy, wants to take care of his family, but again, I never assume the motivations of somebody. Joseph Correa says, any plans for Sasha to return to TV soon, or could they be saving her for an angle coming out of the draft? I think they'll probably save her for the draft. It's the week after the pay-per-view, so that makes a whole lot of sense, but that's just a personal assumption. The WrestleManiac says, do you happen to know if the UK tour has TV tapings, or is it only house shows? They're taping Raw there Monday at the O2 in London. It's a very, very quick tour, but yeah, they gotta film Raw there. Raymond says, any idea what the future for Caden Carter is in WWE given the new mandate on age and size? Should not affect her whatsoever. It's more of a men's side of things. Ryan Lambert says, that you're aware of with the information on contract dates being different than what WWE originally thought on some stars. Has WWE gone back to check on the length and status of wrestlers that are currently signed? Yes, they did. They did after Malakai Black's 30-day thing happened. That, from what I understand, is how they discovered that Adam Cole and Pete Dunne's contracts were up in July. The Johnny Gargano and Kevin Owens stuff is not a circumstance of that situation. I feel like I've had to post things over the past week and a half, like, citing that, because when I talk to WWE about this stuff, they make sure to specify to us that. They're like, this is not a surprise to us. We know their deals are coming up soon. We did know. Already knew, they said. So they stressed that to me very heavily. For everybody asking me, are there any big surprises coming on this show, that show, that's the kind of thing we just report. You probably shouldn't waste your question on that. Joe says, what do you think the chances are Gargano and Ciampa leaving? I think it's quite possible for Gargano. I don't know about Ciampa. I haven't heard anything about him or when his deals are up. I have no clue as of yet. But I think it's possible Gargano could leave. It depends on what he wants. Look, Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson were happy, and they left. Johnny Gargano looks very happy. He looks that way. He's booked in an entertaining fashion. But does he want to try something else, whether it be AEW or elsewhere? I mean, with AEW, snatch up a lot of these people. There are going to be companies that have money to spend on a globally exposed talent like a Johnny Gargano, who is still, he's 34 right now, I think. And Johnny's not having to wrestle a ton this year, 14 times, but I don't know if have to wrestle and get to wrestle are the same thing. It's, he can't go wrestle elsewhere if that's what he wants right now. So I guess we'll see. Ronan says, with AEW having such a stacked roster, do you think they could benefit from having a Cruiserweight Juniors title, especially with so many smaller guys on the roster? No. Normalize those talent being as good as the bigger talent and not needing to do that. I think they'll add a different title instead. Lonnie says, do you know what time frame they are thinking of Hangman taking the title off Omega? Is this still the plan? I don't know if it's still the plan. Was at one point, but I don't know if it still is. No time frame. Taco says, Meltzer recently reported that some insiders expressed concern regarding AEW's increased payroll spending with names like Punk, Danielson, White. Do you have any feelings on this? And as a fan who wants AEW to succeed, is this even a valid concern? Tony seems prepared to lose some money for AEW's long-term growth in creating the video game in-house. I don't personally have any concern with it. You spend money to make money, and that's what Tony Khan is doing. He is spending money, getting stars, and making a more compelling show as a result. Sean says, what are the feelings of the WWE roster about going back to Saudi Arabia in October? Well, I haven't heard a ton about it, but up until recently, it was more like, yeah, I guess we'll see type of thing. Mike Bond says, has there been any update on Punk and Cabana's relationship? I heard it wasn't. By the time that I had written that story about Punk being in talks to return, it had not been repaired as of yet. Michael says, what can ROH do to get back in the spotlight? I think they're doing a good job. They're adding a women's division. They are bringing talent in, new talent in, and they have increased and enhanced production values. I think they're doing what they can. But right now, they are far from the number two that they were in the U.S. before AEW popped up. I think they've fallen from a firm number two in the U.S. in 2018 to at least number four. Going Broadway says, should we expect a one-on-one match between Sting and Tully? No. Sean Garner, any updates on Sasha Banks' whereabouts? Yep, she's good. She's been backstage a couple times. Dev says, I know you and Jimmy briefly spoke about it on the Listen, You Boy. What are some of the changes you're hoping for with the upcoming draft? More balance between the women. I want to see a better women's roster on Raw. Right now, SmackDown has more women that aren't being used. I would like to see it go a lot heavier on the Raw side of things. Drew McIntyre needs to switch to SmackDown and have a bit of an attitude shift in that regard. If we've seen them wrestle 100 times, split them up. Put Sheamus on SmackDown away from Damian Priest, or just put them on different shows. Switch the Intercontinental and U.S. title. I think that'd be a good idea. Get people away that have not had anything fresh in a long time. Do you think Heyman returns at Grand Slam? He should. Any updates on Darius Martin? Looking forward to seeing him coming back. probably still a ways away. His injury happened in February. I believe it was an ACL tear. That's been 7 months. I met him in Chicago. He was there. And, yeah. So, it's good to see him around, but I think he was there for Fan Fest. Sean Murray says, I keep hearing guys like Adam Cole and Brian Danielson weren't huge losses for WWE. In your opinion, what guys would be huge losses to Vince McMahon? Brian Danielson and Adam Cole. I think they were huge losses. Brian Danielson especially. Vince loved Brian Danielson. That was a huge loss to Vince McMahon. Charlie says, have they overused Jungle Boy? Is this the proper way to build a young star? I've never seen it before. A little bit of both. I mean, they can overuse him to the point to where you know he's not going to be in something mega substantial. He's not going to get a major push. But people love him. People love the music. People love him. They like the look. He's doing really well. Ryan Evans says, how come All Japan hasn't tried to form any relationships with any of the American promotions? Noah works with MLW and New Japan. Seems like All Japan is missing out on opportunities. It's about creating buzz with the names you have and making them desirable to the American companies, and they haven't done that well with that from an American standpoint. Paul Moss says, I was surprised to read this week that PCO's contract is actually up November 30th, not after Final Battle. I like how ROH does most contract. Is he the only one in that situation? And he says, has there been any word on who else will be leaving after Final Battle? People expect Roosh to. But you shouldn't have been surprised, my friend. We broke that news last December. We talked to PCO directly. He'll be 54. He says he's still going to keep wrestling. He's got things that he wants to achieve. He was going to make his decision in the summer, and he has made his decision. Danhausen's deal is also up in December as well. Matt Payne says, I was scared for Diamond Mine after the last cuts, but hot damn, they're killing it. Who do you think will be the top faction in NXT 2.0 by end of year after recent booking? Hit Row needs to freshen things up. You can only have them cut the same promos so many times, do the same stuff so many times. They've got to keep it fresh. They were a fresh group. The promos are no longer fresh. Diamond Mine is constantly refreshing. They're debuting people. They're losing people. They're having new teams show up, new women show up. They're going for titles. I like the direction of that. Matt says, any update on Toni Storm? Any creative plans for her? Not at the moment that I've heard of. They're doing that backstage stuff with Ziggler. But other than that, I hadn't heard of any significant ones. Mark says, do you ever think AEW will lead non-televised shows in smaller cities? If they're hot wrestling cities, I think they will. Dave Strobel says, any word on Renee Paquette potentially ending up in AEW? Boy, she is well-liked there. That much I'll tell you. Everybody loves her there that I've talked to. I mean, everybody loves her everywhere that I've heard of. I would be shocked if she doesn't do something with them in the future. Manuel says, should AEW get rid of the ranking system since they aren't even following it? Sure, I don't give a damn. Whatever. I mean, they do follow it usually. But when they don't, they set up matches with a battle royal or a tournament or a ladder match or something like that. But usually they do follow it, but I don't give a damn about the rankings. I care about the win-loss records, but I don't care about the rankings. Ethan says, where do you think the Inspiration are going to end up when they're able to start wrestling again? Could that new belt AEW is working on be a women's tag belt they'll have to come in and vie for? Oh, I hope they start women's tag belts, but I don't have any clue. I've tried to find out. I've heard that they passed on Impact for the time being. I've heard that they passed on a new company, the NGW thing. I heard they passed on that for like a while back. So, yeah. I don't know. Nicholas says, what's the deal with Jeff Hardy? I know he had a match against Priest on Raw. But is there any chance he gets a push in the near future? Doubt it. I just doubt it. I think he'll get like a short one here and there. Nick says, is there any rhyme or reason to whom Lambert brings with him minus being somewhat notable in MMA and training at ATT? I think that's about it. I mean, Paige Van Zandt, Andre Arlovsky, Junior Dos Santos, Kayla Harrison are all very notable. And in the past, Masvidal, like, he's got a great stable of people that casual MMA fans would know. Shane says, prediction for first AEW guy to go to WWE. Everybody I talk to is happy in AEW, but I think that maybe Miro will get a ton of WWE interest whenever his deal is up. Chris Greenlee says, is Cody Island compromising the quality of the show? I think it did for a while with the Nightmare Family Factory stuff. There aren't a ton of people there that have characters developed that I gotta see on Dynamite and Rampage. I think Cody does really well. I love the Malachi Black stuff. Scott Wesley says, as a Kentucky guy, I'm sure you were aware that Sting's son Steven played a tight end for the Wildcats. At 6'4", 230, 240-ish, he would have seemed like a natural fit, but seems not remotely interested in pro wrestling, even now that is... he's in his 20s and out of football. Have you heard anything providing more context to who would be your biggest what if they had done wrestling instead of something else? So, I mean, I think that he would have been a great person for them to look at. But I'll give you a male and a female. The male is D'Angelo Williams and probably Pat McAfee, because we saw what they could do in their first match. A female is actually somebody that a lot of you will go, huh? But it's Jessamine Duke. I first met Jessamine Duke in 2012. We were both training regionally. She was fighting. She lived like 30, 35, maybe 40 minutes from me. Went and trained with her a couple times. But the first time I saw her, keep in mind, this is in the middle of the Divas era, and there's this 6 foot tall, ripped fitness model who is a really good fighter. She was legitimately a top 145 pound prospect then, before they effectively did away with that division in most leagues, so to speak. She was still an amateur then, but I remember seeing her throw a body kick at her opponent from like across the cage, and I was just like, man, that WWE needs more athletes like her. There wasn't much of anyone who looked like her at the time, and I even had some conversations with her like, you should probably give pro wrestling a try. But at the time, regardless of how the MMA career turned out, she was one of the top prospects in amateur MMA in a division that Chris Cyborg was in, that Ronda Rousey at the time was in, and she wanted to pursue that. That was her dream. Her dream was not pro wrestling. She did not come up as a pro wrestling fan. I think if she would have gotten started around then in her early to mid-20s, I think she would have been a really special talent. I've seen some training footage. I mean, I trained a little bit of pro wrestling with her when I went to train with her in Richmond, and like little chain stuff was like very, very impressive for somebody who had no clue about pro wrestling. Very impressive. Jack Murphy says, why hasn't AEW announced Moriarty signing yet? I don't think they really needed to when a tweet about it got like 1,500 retweets. I don't know why they haven't officially announced it. I don't know if he's on a tiered deal or a full-time deal, but we'll see. JR says, was there ever a plan to do the 2-hour Rampage from 9 to 11 instead of 10 to midnight? Nope. Tyler says, do you think we're going to see Bullet Club in AEW soon? And if you had to put money on it, by when? I think probably by early next year. Alejandro Reyes says, any update on the Sami Zayn conspiracy documentary? The trailer premiere might be all that they do. At one time, it was supposed to air on Peacock. I don't know if it's going to be released as a full feature because, I mean, his deal's coming up. Lee says, have you got any news on Marty Scurll? If not, do you think his career is over? Until he finds somebody that's willing to weather the storm of dealing with him, yes, I think his career is over. The reaction for talent at New Japan, strong. They were like, we wouldn't have done this show if we heard he was involved with it, and he popped up. But that wasn't good. The reaction online was not good. So until somebody's willing to deal with that, it's done. Brent says, does TK planning on doing pay-per-view or special Dynamite in St. Louis to make up for Full Gear? I haven't heard that. I would imagine they're going to do some sort of big match at Rampage. And that's just my assumption. That's not something that I've heard. I assume that they're going to do something big to make up for the lack of a pay-per-view there, and they should. They got a bunch of feuds going right now. Thank you all so much. Again, last week I spoke about the new deal. So many of you had very kind things to say, and I truly appreciate that. You all mean the world to me, the fact that you all have invested in us, and I hope that I can find out more news for you guys. I got some trips coming up, and we'll see how they go. Until next time, guys, we're out.